more than 25 years ago with regard to the Grove Primary School, which gave power to the school governing bodies to actually determine what happens with our children.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been trying ever since then to overturn that.
Because, do we really want to outsource our thinking to the government? But anyway.
I just want to do a proper introduction. It seems like we just went live now, so I don't know. Jack must have just pressed the button. All right, welcome. If you have just joined us, we are a couple of minutes late, but we're here for a live burning platform for it's all happening from the podcast party headquarters in Johannesburg. And Pumi Mashiko is here, Canton Pile is here. And a little reunion between Canton and the woman he voted for, Colleen Makubele, who is here too. From what was it called?
It was Sarah.
Sarah.
Now MK.
Now MK. Are you wearing the colors?
She's in the colors.
We'll get into that in a second. Yes. What we were discussing, if you came online right at the start, is the Bella Bill and what's going on there. It turns out, according to Canton and Pumi, this is actually more of an ANC internal battle than it is anything to do with the education of our children. But of course, like everything, when the elephants stomp on the ground, all the small things get destroyed. So that's what's happening. Again, let's see what happens. If this is truly, if it's something like this that pulls the government and national unity apart, well, then it wasn't so strong to start with. Am I right? Well, we'll have to see. We shall see. All right. I want to know why she was at that toxic MK meeting just after the election, says Patrick. They're already asking. Colleen, you were a free market, a rational person when you sold us your bullshit before the election. Now you're with the socialist MK. How, says Carl. Canton, you must feel betrayed, says Dirk. Rip into her, please. So.
Nothing like a hot start.
So, yeah. All right. Canton did vote for you.
Yeah.
Did you? I did, and many others
that I'm grateful for.
Well, a handful. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Let's be very clear. I voted very specifically for that range of policies that Colleen discussed on this very platform.
Yes,
and remember that the closing point on that was the reason why we should be totally opposing the Bella Bill, and again, I'm I'd be quite interested to see how that fits in with the mindset of MK. And of course, the issue that we have with MK right now is that no one knows what MK stands for at this point.
So maybe that's a good place to start.
All right, exactly. No. Let's just start by rewinding, because the last time we had Colleen in here, she was standing as an independent, a brave thing to do. And she came in here and she answered all the questions, which is something very few politicians did. And so to your credit, when you left here, there were many of us, Canton included, because we're not going to pile on him, but who thought, you know what, this woman is smart. She's got a wits about her. She's thought carefully about the issues. I remember we had a discussion after the show, and I thought, okay, even if it's small, she's going to be there to make a difference. And it looked to many of us like after the elections, you were looking for a home because it didn't go as well as maybe you'd thought. What actually happened before? Because I don't want you to be a spokesperson for MK. I mean, you know, you can talk about what drew you to them. But what happened to you after you started seeing those election results coming in? Because that's really where it all started and where people said, oh, wow, Colleen, I just saw you suddenly at the press conference with MK. And I was like, what's she doing there?
Thanks, Gareth, and good morning to thank you so much, Canton, for the vote. Thank you, Pumi. A lot happened after the elections. Clearly, we didn't get the results that we were hoping for, and South Africans just did not believe in our policies and the message that we're sending there. I had to really sit back and think hard about, number one, did we sell it hard enough? Two, did we have the support that we're hoping to have financially, even on the ground? No, we did not have. And three, do South Africans truly resonate with those policies that we were putting forth, because they were rejected? Not only for Sarah, most of the parties that stood for the policies that we are standing for cannot even form government today if they have to group themselves. So those that were believing differently, ANC, EFF, MK, they can form two-thirds of government. So that tells you something about what the people that we want to lead think and feel on the ground. And if you want to be a public servant and lead people, you have to listen to their pulse. You can't force your personal beliefs and opinions and your thoughts onto them. And that's what Africans have been saying for a long time. Allow us the space to think about what we want and how we want to advance our Africa. And perhaps what we are pushing is not what Africa is looking for. So for me, that took me 3 months to reconcile with myself and with me wanting to be a public servant and serve in that calling. Am I going to achieve that calling with what I'm trying to sell to the public? I don't think so. Two, SARA was formed as an alliance. We wanted to unite different political parties, African parties with the like minds, you know, and come together to deliver on common things, economy, unemployment, youth issues, GBV, women. You know, the issues are common, different ideas of how to solve it, but we've got the common elephant that we want to deal with. And that also didn't quite work out with COPE firing, me pulling out. NFP had their own issues and taking each other to court, pulled out, AIC pulled out. You know, we ended up a handful, no impact. And how you saw me at that press briefing, first and foremost, it was a grievance that we had against the IEC. It was all of us, 26 losers, 26 parties that lost, including MK, who won, who wanted to be, of course, challenge the election result for the rigging and all the unfairness that has gone in. And we are firsthand recipients of that, with proof, with everything that we
had. But who went up to who? Did you go to them or did they come to you first?
I think we went up to them. We knew that they were lodging their grievances. And I was at the forefront, you know, I always love unity. I brought everybody to say, there's no point all of us going into IEC courts separately. Let's join forces. Number one, we don't have the money to fight this, the lawyers that we need, etc., even the muscle that we need. And MK then agreed to it when we approached them. And truly, President Zuma was generous to agree. He did not even, when he came to that ROC, he was coming to have his own press briefing, if you remember. We came in later into that press briefing because he had agreed to say, okay, let's deal with our MK issues first, what they had invited media to tell them. And then when they are done, they'll invite us now to talk about the case. It was never on their agenda. So it was not them kind of pulling us in. No, we asked to say, look, we need your platform. And we knew that on our own, you invite media, you're a non-entity. So losers, nobody's interested. But everybody's focus is on MK. You know, they want to hear what they have to say and you know, they're following them everywhere. So we leveraged on that platform so that our voices can be heard, our grievances can be heard. And unfortunately, even the case didn't go far. Results were allowed, were announced. A president was voted in and sworn in. We have a cabinet of a government running. So it's futile to chase that. But what attracted me as I draw to a close on this, I'm sorry to take long, is that MK, from that moment, President Zuma made a call to say, let's unite all parties. We need the unity of African parties. Truly, it was a disgrace, and we spoke about it. 70 parties on the ballot box, all saying the same thing, just differing here and there, just different. We all want to be bravados and egos of presidents, but we're confusing the electorate. We're making no impact. Why are we not consolidating? That struck a chord with me, because that's really what SARA was all about. Otherwise, I would have stayed with COPE and, you know, not having even formed SARA. So for me, I'm with MK first and foremost for that reason, that they have made a call repeatedly to all parties to say, let's come together, let's put our ideologies and everything aside, let's understand what this nation needs. What is it that we can do, especially as Black excellence, because it's a lot of Black parties that are running all over the show. Two, they've made a call which I've always believed in. Like any other person who starts a business and say, I've got a contracted ESCOM, but I don't have the right skills. I don't have the right CEO, right supervisors, right managers. You send out adverts. to say, anyone who can come and assist me to do the best job in this, please come in and you interview them. They get in there. MK, the first party to do that. Unlike what we saw in different areas where you end up with even mayors of less competence because everybody's holding on to, I went to elections with this person, whether they can do the job or not, they must be there, and it becomes chaotic. I take off my hat for that because they came out, they said, please, we need competent, qualified people to do the job, to serve the community, volunteer ourselves. And we raised our hands, having thought through all of this 3 months down the line, I joined MK and 2 weeks later, I think it's really the sound and solid decision in the words of our national organizer.
So, I actually
want to ask the very fundamental question first. What was it about what President Zuma said to you that persuaded you that that was the way to go?
As I said, to me, first is the unity of African parties. We cannot go again as fragmented as we were. And he's very adamant about that. And that unity must address the common issues. And he was not interested in what you stood for, etc. As long as we can agree, these are the economic issues and all the social issues, all the ills that we want to tackle, the aspirations of our people that we want to get to. How can we collectively tackle that instead of being fragmented? Fundamentally, he called for competent, qualified leaders to join the party, to join and assist in being public representative. For me, that strikes a chord. So those two things in particular strike a chord with me because that's what Sarah stood for fundamentally.
So, I mean, you start out by your own words as a coalition of the disgruntled, 27 parties, all the losers, you challenging IEC results. And now, I mean, even just looking at the national organizer, Floyd Shibambu's yesterday, what he was talking about, collapsing all of these smaller parties and absorbing them into the MK. I'm very interested to know, what are these issues that unite you? What are the, because we haven't, even going into the election, we didn't see a manifesto from the MK. So I don't know what the top three priorities of the MK are. I don't know what the top three priorities of the Progressive Front, as it is currently called, are. So what are they? What are the fundamentals on which MK is built that we should all, that everybody is uniting around?
Yeah. First, I think the call to really do away with multiple parties, I think is the correct one. And I'll say this again. South Africans they rejected fundamentally this fragmentation. That's why you've got 26 parties that lost elections. If they saw value in small parties, would be having seats in parliament right now. So that alone,
but we've got 14 parties in parliament. We've got two more than the last time, right? So that is not the argument that people have. Maybe people rejected those parties. Maybe not enough people showed up for those parties. But we also have a platform that allows as many voices in the room as possible. So maybe you just didn't do enough.
You know, Pumi, I'm not sure which question to answer now because you interrupted me while I was answering your first question.
Well, let's go back to the three priorities.
You know, you called me to ask me, I'm trying to give you my answer, sure. But I appreciate your opinion. So let me also then put my opinion forth.
Okay.
So for me, I disagree with you, and it's okay to have your own view on there are 14 parties there. Yes, there are 14 parties there. One is one seat, two seats, etc. And I even look at those that were maybe my direct competition. If you look at, I'll take this example. Let's say Rise Bosa. With all those hundreds of millions or tens of millions that were put in there, end up with two seats in parliament, one seat. What can you do with that? You know, yes, you can get a position, but really to push up. I know I was in a city of Joburg with one seat. I was a speaker, I had a position, but I couldn't push a COPE policy. I couldn't really make fundamental difference to the constituency of COPE. I know what I'm talking about. Multi-party democracy is constitutional. It's fine, it's there. But I'm saying logic tells you, if you were in my position, you spend the money, the resources, and the time that I have, and you had the policies that I had that looked good, many people resonated with. You went out of your way and you come back with zero. You sit back and think, what is my ambition? My ambition is to be a public servant. Do I need to do that at all cost as Colleen being president? No. What was the ambition of Sarah? Alliance, unity of African parties. Do I need to do that with Sarah as a lead, with Colleen as a president? No. If MK is better placed to do that, MK must be supported. What is killing us as Africans is that everybody wants their spaza shop, whether it's meaningful, it's profitable, it is not. We have made a decision, I in particular, and many other parties, I can talk of the Shuluvas, ADP, and all those that are coming in. We've made a conscious decision to say, no, we believe in African unity. We believe in what South Africans are yearning for. If that is land, then let's support MK on land issues. They've been very, very vocal on land. If that is really nationalization, let us support them. They've been vocal on that. There are three parties, and I said it before, ANC, EFF, MK, that can form two-thirds of government, all believe in the similar policies that people voted for. So it's time for us to listen to the ground. And here, if I'm going to lead a community, I must be able to know what is the community's aspiration. Do they want denationalized privatization? Perhaps that's not that what they want. Do they want land first? Yes, that's what they want. And you ask a good question. What is it that we agreed on? We agreed on key things that are very, very burning in this country. And any political party agrees on that. The difference is, how do we think we're going to tackle it? We agreed on jobs, but that hangs on the economy. We need to fix the economy of this land. We need to create jobs for our people. We need to make sure that the women are protected, deal with the crime issues. There's those key priorities that end service delivery. Those are the things that people are yearning for. They want houses. They want homes. They want decent living, quality of living.
So, then why,
so those are the things so then, that we agree
so
on.
So then why bring people like Brian Molefe and Coco and... And
Lucky Montana,
these state capture guys, why bring them in if you are serious about the economy? These guys are only serious about stripping the economy. I mean, we have no record of any of them doing anything to try and help the average South African on any of these issues that you spoke about. And these are the guys that MK is putting up front. They're not putting you up front, with respect. I mean, at least you are honest about the fact that as the land changed, you read the lie of the land and you're a survivor. I mean, that's what I'm reading. But these guys, they put up as the John Hlophe. I mean, these are the people they're putting up front.
So,
a former president after nine years as the head of government, 9 years as the head of government, what is it that he's going to do now as different opposition that he couldn't do then?
May I ask this question? Because I just hate also hypocrisy. For me, we've got a Palapala issue that is hanging. I don't see how that is different from what Brian Molefe is accused of. All of those have not been tested in court and found guilty. In fact, the Palapala issue is being swept under the table, even by the very DA that says, oh, now we're not even going to bring it up because we want to be part of the government. So please don't tell me about people that are accused or allegedly have done something. Until they are tested and found guilty in court, like the president of this nation, let's put that aside and allow them to serve. Judge Hlophe, nothing prohibits him in law to serve. He's been impeached. He's accepted his fate as being impeached. The legal framework of this land allows him to serve where he is. So let him serve. He's not breaking the law. So that's
no
what it is.
No one says he can serve. We're asking a different question. The question is, after 9 years as head of government of a party that had the full might of government to pass laws, to all of the
President Zuma in 9 years. Otherwise, she's going to be going off on a tangent about this again. The basic point that we need to...
I want to hear the answer to my question. No, I don't want you to mansplain me.
The point that
I don't want you mansplaining me.
You do the same to me. So when somebody does it to you, you don't like it.
It's not an explanation.
No, but you do the same to me. When I'm trying to answer, you're pushing your own opinions. So let him also answer.
No, why
no,
is
my sister, you're doing
me?
This. You need to judge yourself also.
No, answer my question.
Look into yourself. You are doing the same
That's
to me.
Fine.
No, it's not fine. It's not fine. So let him do the same to you so that we are fair on around this.
I'm happy to answer questions, but I'm saying,
Mpumi, let him ask the question.
He's not asking your question.
No, he wants to answer the question. Right. You cannot be the only bull in this crawl. What are we doing here?
Let's let Canton ask his question, and then we'll come back to Mpumi because she's not satisfied with your answers. So
yeah, and I will answer. She'll never be satisfied because she wants me to believe in what she believes in, and I don't. So I'll answer to the best of my ability.
It's not a belief.
So my basic question here is, and you brought up the question of the land issue. And a lot of people have been talking about this, and they've been saying if there's going to be a coalition of these guys, they're then going to be able to put in place expropriation without compensation and all of these things, which frankly I find repugnant. But consider the fact that over the 9 years that Mpumi was talking about, that Jacob Zuma was in parliament, and the EFF kept offering him the opportunity to amend the constitution to allow for expropriation without compensation. And Jacob Zuma did not take them up on that. They consistently kept saying, you know, we want to put in place these laws, change the constitution.
Let me answer the question like this. And I've belonged to a political party. And maybe ANC even more complex than the one that I was with within COPE. I'm not there to, even now within MK, I'm not there to implement my belief system and what I think. You are there to implement what the party says. You walk along party lines. You may be the president of the party, but you don't have the final veto on everything that happens within the party. You are a collective that must be told what to do. And President Zuma has expressed that over and over, that now that he owns his own party, he has the opportunity now to determine the direction of what he's going to do. Then you could not. And I don't think anyone logically would really, if you understand how a party works, would ask that question and insist that, why didn't he do it? And it's just unfortunate, maybe if you have not belonged into how a party works, whether you are a leader or not, you are not there as Colleen. You are there as a party. So it's a party's decision that gets implemented.
All right,
so now that President Zuma is a party leader here, directly involved in policy, and he has formed this party, then he's got an opportunity to say what goes and what doesn't.
But is expropriation without compensation one of those policies?
It is one of those policies. And that's why there's a call for constitutional change. And that's what we want to see happening.
Okay, so to go back here, because Selby Bopape says, Pumi's question is fundamental. Anyone will ask when it comes to Zuma the same question. So let's go back to it, Pum, so you can get your answer that you're looking for.
What is it that Jacob Zuma is going to do differently? Because he's still part of a party. And you're saying or the party, the MK, is only about Jacob Zuma's ideas.
If you heard my last answer, it answers you directly. It answers you directly.
Okay, answer it again. Answer it again, because answer it differently, because the way that you answered, my question is, if Jacob Zuma, as the head of the ANC, as the head and leader of the party, fundamentally the biggest party with all the power, was unable to convince those people to move in this direction, now he's in another party. Again, how is he going to do things differently? How is he going to get it right this time that he couldn't get right? Not just as 9 years of a president, as a leader in the NEC for multiple years in the ANC. Why could he not get it right?
Answer this question
okay,
differently.
That's a good answer.
The answer that I gave earlier, it still stands.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good answer. You don't know how to answer the question.
No,
that is a good answer.
Me, you know, you cannot behave like that as an interviewer. You know, it's really disturbing. Even the first time I was here, there was this sister thing, black thing that happens. Don't do that. You know, you can ask me hard questions, but don't do that. It doesn't come across well. No, listen. Can I finish?
You
were on to Kenton for doing that to you.
Let me clarify.
It's not only about you. You call called me for. I took my time to come and answer your question, and I would like to be treated fairly. Thank you so much.
If I don't understand what you're saying, and I ask for a different way of saying it, and I'm willing, and you say I don't have it, that's fine.
No, no, I didn't say I don't have it. Please, please read my answer correctly, because you are not so smart that you can do that and think that I can't see through it and people can't see through it. I need you to calm down. You can be intelligent and ask questions without being this air. It's important that we respect one another and ask things properly.
All right. Gareth, I want to ask you something.
I'm happy to be on this show and I can answer any question, and I'll answer it again.
Okay.
If you are in a party like ANC, like I was within COPE, a party that is not your own, I could not do what I was doing in SARA with COPE. I could not. It was not, number one, a party that I myself founded, I controlled. I was just a leader in a region, even within the region that I was. I could not do as I please. It was a party line. When I started SARA, that's why I could come here with policies that I believed in and had to attract people that believe in the same values that I stood in. You were asking me earlier, even about Bella Bill and other things before the show. Those are the things that we stood vehemently on. I can't do that now within MK Party, irrespective of my personal belief and personal ambitions. I have to support what the party supports. I mean, it is that simple. Okay. I don't see the complications there.
All right. So let me ask you about strategy, because it does seem to me like MK, and to a large extent, the EFF, even though there's very little common ground seemingly between those two at this stage. Floyd has obviously come across to MK because I think he can see the writing on the wall for the EFF, and he also is a survivor.
Look,
the question is, like, do you think there was a severe misstep here, that you were outmaneuvered by people who actually have very little in common? You mentioned earlier that if the EFF, MK, and the ANC could just get their act together, then they believe in more or less the same things and they can make it work. And it would be 2/3, right? That's what you said. Yeah, and I agree with you. But the EFF and the MK party were outmaneuvered by a much more politically savvy ANC, who said, you know what, we'd rather make friends with all these Smolanyana and DA and the people that we actually disagree with a lot more, because it's important for us to keep these parties outside the tent. And you were outmaneuvered. I mean, I say you, but MK and EFF were outmaneuvered by people who are much better at politics. Don't you agree?
I don't know whether outmaneuvering is the word, because I think there's a much bigger hand at play. This grand coalition and this putting together ANCDA is planned elsewhere, not within what people want. It's not really what most of the, even the leaders of the ANC, when you talk to them, what they want. This was a grand coalition that was pre-planned. So let me finish answering the question. And yes, there was a concerted effort to keep MK and EFF outside. I was not part of that because clearly I was still, you know, minding my own business at the time. I was not within MK. I was watching, like everybody else, the unfolding of what was happening. But for me, it's sad that you find black parties that can come together and unite. You call it outmaneuvered by the market, by those that have the money to determine where the direction of this country, irrespective of what the voices of the people have said on the ground. And it also brings to light to you that in this day and age, especially in this time in our political dynamic country, that really we don't even know in 3 months' time where this country will be politically, you can accept that ANC and DA can have different policies, diabolically opposed on certain issues, can come together and work together. But you find it very difficult to accept that Colleen can join MK and work with MK. You find it palatable that Action SA, which campaigned violently against ANC and their policies, today are going in bed and their spokesperson for ANC, no one really seems to ask questions. But
so when, I don't disagree with that.
Yes, but when Colleen comes in, it's a problem to come in within MK.
No, I don't think it's a problem. I don't mean this in any way other than the way that you've explained it to us. It's like political survival. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If that's what you do, you said to become a public servant, fine. I read like you're a survivor, so you'll move whichever way the wind blows on this. And that's okay, because many political parties and many politicians all over the world have done it. But we still don't know what MK stands for and why you chose them. I mean, you probably could have found a home in another...
Even the EFF.
I didn't want to go to the EFF. I didn't want to go to the EFF. I didn't want to go to any other party. I wanted to come to MK, and that's the decision that I have made. And you know, there's one thing you said about ANC and EFF, and I think for me, how I look at it, the move for the national organizer or the former deputy president, you know, we have to look at it in a light that it's actually a huge compliment that President Jacob Zuma did not go to any other party to fish for the best of what he wanted in a national organizer. You know, he went to EFF. That's a compliment to the EFF, in my opinion, that they've been a young party that it is, have managed to raise such quality of skill, black excellence, managers, organizers, politically savvy people, that somebody would just fish him at that level and say, come and assist us to build and to lead. He could have gone anywhere in any other party, fished anywhere. And it happens in any entity, any corporate, people move around, you go and poach where you want to. I think it's a great compliment to what President Julius Malema has done with EFF, where they've come from, how they have built the structures, and everybody, we envy the structures of the EFF. Even us, we're emulating what EFF was doing and how they formed their structures, the discipline, the command that they have there. And that's what President Zuma is seeking to achieve with this. So I think it's a great compliment to the EFF president. And I trust they'll find a way to settle the emotional issues. Of course, there will be emotional turmoil in the beginning, but I hope to find a way to rest.
So on several occasions. Talk
practicalities at this point, okay? So taking all of what you've said into account, if you look at the pattern that's kicked in place ever since we've had the election, now in almost every by-election that we've had so far, MK has gone backwards in terms of the votes that they polled in exactly those voting districts. And as you know, as recently as Ward 33 in Itekwini, which there was a by-election which was run yesterday, as I recall. And DA previously in that area had something like 26% of the poll. They've sweeped it with something like 80%, and everyone else has been relegated backwards. And to my mind, the scenario that's going to be happening now, the ANC is going to continue on a backward trajectory, but the DA is going to be continuing to grow in terms of its actual footprint, which means that you're going to have a strengthening of this ANC DA coalition arrangement that we've got right now. And at the same time, MK is not in power anywhere. So even though they were the biggest party in KZN, they're not in power in KZN. And again, that's because I think that Jacob Zuma failed the opportunity to actually strike an alliance with the IFP, which would have given them 50% in the province. Again, instead, they got outmaneuvered by the ANC and the DA, who went to the IFP and said, we're going to give you the premiership and we're going to put you in power. So between now and the municipal elections in 2 years' time, there is possibly an opportunity for Jacob Zuma to try and grab at least a couple of municipalities. But in the meanwhile, you're going to have this ANC-DA coalition, which is already showing itself far more efficient than the ANC by itself was over the previous 5 years. And they're turning out real results. So from my perspective, I can't see any situation other than MK going backwards. And, you know, to the point that you were making just now, in spite of the fact that Floyd is now part of MK, those organizational abilities have not actually been showing results in terms of the municipal elections.
Yeah.
So how do you see this actually growing and not actually falling apart?
Certainly. Look, I think that there is growth. I've noted those. I didn't see the by-election results of yesterday. I know I'm sure they came out late at night. I'll look at them. But I know the last by-election, actually MK won some wards, even in Rustenburg, you know, where... Previously, they didn't have any footprint. And by-elections are like that. You'll win, you'll lose. And I don't think it's an indication strongly at this stage, at least for MK, you know, of where we'll be in 2026. But one thing I want to say, Floyd is only what, a month?
In the job, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. I think, let's be fair, you don't build structures in a month and strengthen and build an organization in a month. It took, ANC is over 100 years old. EFF is 10 years old.
You said that, but let's
no,
give,
no,
let's
let me finish this thought. Let me finish, this
credit.
Thought.
They came up as the third biggest party, first election ever. We still don't know what their policies are.
6 months.
They did very, very well. 6 months from foundation when Jacob Zuma launched it until the election. And they did extremely well. It's better than anything the EFF have done.
Well, we're even way better than us. We started earlier than them, to their credit. But I wanted to finish this thought to say, I first said the national organizer is only a month in the job. Even now, as he is, they've just announced their structures about the high command, national high command team, about 2 weeks ago. You know, I think it's too early.
Have you got a role there?
No, I don't have a role there. I don't have a role yet within the party. So I'm a volunteer
like
any other. Look, for me, the role that I would like is really to be part of a structure that can allow me to showcase my talent as a woman, as a leader, as a politician. I want to go in and add value. If it's in the province or it's in national, it's part of the, you know, MK structure, or it's in public service, I want to be able to continue and build upon the good work that I've been doing as a public servant. But the point is, I think it's just been a month. You know, he has not even really put down the strategy that must be adopted, how we're going to move. So I think let's, you know, any organization, give it 3 to 6 months, a judge. Even that is too small, but because we are looking at 2026, everything must be accelerated. It takes years to build this thing. I mean, look at how DA grew. You would know. There used
why
to be
I
a
know?
One-seat party. There used to be a one. If you read the books and understand, I mean, I know from reading books, for a long time, they were just a one-seat party, two-seat party here and there. They went on for years to build structures, lost elections, and they built up until they became official opposition. And it takes time. It takes time. You know, and sometimes we expect too much of ourselves. And I can even say even for myself and Sarah, you know, to build a party within 8 months, you want to have significance. You don't even have funders. You don't even have structures on the ground. You go there. Jacob Zuma used the force of his personality. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to meet with him. And that's one thing that is going for him. He's a person that is deeply, deeply loved, you know, by not only his people, by many people around South Africa, and you don't underestimate
it. Disagree with you
exactly.
On that
front. And that really is working for him. And we have to build around that. Any party will find what
well,
is their
key.
He's 81 years old.
Man, eh?
No,
after Jacob Zuma.
Look, the party, of course, will decide. That's why you're seeing all of these structures coming up now, formalizing, you know, even the national team and bringing in new leaders, fresh young leaders, because there has to be succession plan. There has to be clear path forward beyond president. And whenever that would be, we still hope he can give us, by God's grace, another 10 years. If not, I think the succession plans will unfold. That's why you've got leaders like
a 90-year-old man. Wow.
Well, not a lot of people can achieve what he's achieving at 90. The strength, the agility, the thinking, it's commendable.
On several instances, you've mentioned that you're an amalgamation of African parties, you're showcasing Black excellence. And I'm very interested in the definitions. What does that mean to you when you say it's an African party and it's showcasing Black excellence? What does that mean? And is that to the exclusion of other people who view themselves as African too?
No, what you said is just a contradiction. I never said a white party or a Black party.
No, I said African.
So if you see yourself as an African, this is your party. If your origin is Africa, irrespective of who you are, irrespective of your gender, your race, irrespective of whatever other definition that we categorize ourselves, whatever tribe, If you are an African who believes in South Africa and Africa, you are welcome. I'm saying particularly Black excellence because ANC has failed to showcase Black excellence. And many people have become disgruntled with Black leaders in particular because we never put the best forward. Even now within ANC, look at some of their ministers or deputy ministers that they still have in there. You know, some leave a lot to be desired. Look at what we have as councillors, even as MECs, as mayors, even as some in provincial government. It's time that we are able to recruit and bring the best. I'm not talking about that maybe white would be the best and et cetera. I'm particularly concerned on the kind of role model that we're putting out there of public servants in our Black communities. It is not good. I've been there. It is not good.
Are there any white people in MK? Are there any Indian people in MK?
There are Indian. There are lots of Indian people even in Parliament.
You mean coloureds?
Yes, there are coloureds as well within MK. I haven't seen a white person though, but I've seen other races.
Because I mean, let's just be fair across the board here. Like a lot of the criticism that the DA comes under is it's a white party, right? But they have Black people in there. And we know some of them by name. I don't know any white people in MK, and we certainly don't know any names.
Hopefully they will come through.
Well, sure, but I mean, let's at least treat the duck and the goose the same way.
Yeah, but you know, frankly, from my side, I don't want us to get into that race proportionality thing because you know
it's such a change. Yeah. It's such a change from what Colleen was saying the last time, where it was this rainbow alliance, really. Mm-hmm. You know. And you didn't use any racially essentialist language then.
Exactly.
And it's changed. That's why I think Pumi's question's relevant. Normally, I wouldn't bring it up because I could care less about this stuff. I really don't mind.
In fact,
and I also think I agree with you on Jacob
Zuma. So where
does
Orania fit into this conceptual model that you're talking about?
Orania.
Because, you know, frankly, I think the people of Orania are Africans from my perspective. And, you know, they're deeply rooted in this continent. They're building a community.
Certainly. That's why I said Africans. Anyone who sees himself as African who wants to come and join MK, I'm sure they'll be welcome. I'm sure they'll be welcome. Like I said, we're all sitting around the table to say, how are we going to tackle this that affects us all? This is not about race.
So what's the plan? You said the fundamental things.
And sorry. The rainbow that you keep talking about, that I told you hasn't changed. Even then, we're amalgamating African parties. We're very clear. And also, I always keep saying, Sarah became irrelevant when it was rejected by the voters. There's nothing I can talk about. And I appreciate those 12,000 that voted for us. We could not even get half a seat. So we can't even talk about Sarah at this stage. It's done.
So you spoke about the amalgamation, and you spoke about the fact that jobs are one of your priorities. What is the plan from what you have seen? And I understand that you're a new person there. What is the MK's plan with regard to tackling the unemployment issue we face in this country?
Look, I said earlier, if you cannot fix the economy, if you cannot fix the state-owned entities, you are not going to fix job creation. If you cannot attract investors out of them, you're not going to fix the economy. We may have different ideas of how we want to tackle it. At this stage, I have not sat down with anyone from MK who fundamentally disagrees with that. We need to nationalize the state-owned entities. That's the policy of MK. And that's what they have on them. They've got their own research and reasons why. And I have bought into that because I'm in the party now.
I need to understand, nationalized state-owned entities,
but they're already owned by the state.
Some are not. Some are also in private hands, so they believe in that.
Which ones? Two or three that are still working?
Those are a different opinion.
Which ones?
So I'm saying those are the policies that MK stands for. And those are the policies I'm going to support.
Guys, I want to be fair to Colleen here because she's not here as a spokesperson for the MK party. And she can't, and she hasn't got a role yet in the MK party. And there are many comments here that are like, well, Colleen must speak for MK. She's not empowered to do that at this stage. She's just a member of the party. We wanted to talk to her about how much has changed since the last time we saw her And I think that you've answered some of those questions. Some people here say that you haven't answered enough of them. I mean, here's a comment from somebody who says, Colleen, the flip-flop queen. That's what someone calls you. Someone else says here, Colleen has to speak on behalf of MK's beliefs. She's probably struggling because she has a bigger and better plan. That's from Proper Gender. But you can't speak for MK. Am I right?
You are correct. I'm not a spokesperson. I'm only 2 weeks into the party, literally. And of course, when you invited me, you didn't tell me come and talk about MK.
No, of course.
No, we wanted to talk about you and the decision that you made to join the MK. And presumably, based on the fact that you're far more closer, like you said, you know, you've met Jacob Zuma, you've been with the team, the national structures, and you made a decision based on what you have heard and seen that says this is the right political home for me. And having heard you before and your policies and what you stood for, we were looking to understand how those two things fit together and how those two things have since changed. So it's not that we are asking you to be a spokesperson for the party. We're simply trying to understand what it is that you have differently, the different information that you have that has allowed you to come to this position. So not because you're speaking for the party, simply because we want to understand a little bit more about what it is that has changed your mind from what we saw before.
Yeah, indeed. And I answered that, I think, in the first 5 minutes when I was here, to say I'm with MK fundamentally on two things that attracted me. The consolidation of African parties and the competent leadership that they are looking for.
But who's not an African party? That's a better question. Because if you say the consolidation of African parties, who's not an African party?
I don't know. People must define themselves. I don't have that definition
for
you.
But then it's Parliament. Definition. Parliament is that definition then?
No.
What's the difference between Parliament and a coalition of African parties?
I'm actually even asking Parliament, what do you mean when you say Parliament? Maybe I have a wrong understanding.
If everybody who voted for everyone, even for Action SA or BOSA or whatever, if they voted for them, they consider themselves African and South African.
Certainly.
They were patriotic enough to go and actually register and vote, which is what most of the population didn't even do, right?
Yeah.
And I don't see a difference between your definition where you're African if you choose to be African and all the other parties who don't make a thing about it. What's like, Pumi's right. Like, there's something important about this. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep bringing it up.
No, for me, what is important is those that really fundamentally believe in the progress of Africa, the way.
But who doesn't?
Well, that's what I'm saying to you, Gareth. If you do, if you feel MK is your home, you are welcome. That's why I'm saying there's no exclusion. There is no criteria that says you can't join. And I think that's where we're missing each other. It's like any other party. If you feel you resonate with them, join. So I'm trying to tell you, there's no exclusion part, except if you really feel the African progress, the way President Zuma has described it, the way the progressive forces are describing it, resonates with you, you are welcome to join the MK and to join the progressive front. There's no exclusion of anybody. I know people are looking for things like it's a racist, maybe it's black. There's nothing like that. And the invite went to everybody. Even in media, they released a statement to say, we want to consolidate. We want competent, qualified leaders. People choose to stay by the sidelines and then want to find reasons to criticize. Cannot be like that. If you feel you can add value, you can be part of this, raise your hand and come. If you don't want, it's okay. Many other parties that you can join and be part of. But if you are going to come and criticize a policy, this policy, I've just made an example. There's GNU. You don't even know what the policy is. It's jumbled up. There's ANC and EFF, ANC and Action SA now joining hands together. We don't know what they're going to be implementing there. So let it not be personal to anything. We're in this era right now where I think the country is trying to redefine itself and find what is it really that we as collective, as a country, we can stand together in. And irrespective of whether you're yellow, green, blue, whatever t-shirt, really fight towards that point together.
I want to ask you something, and I don't want you to be upset by this, because I mean, you've heard probably worse things from other politicians.
Oh, yeah. I hear many things.
So what if people rejected you and not Sarah? What if the fact that you didn't get votes was you? And maybe you shouldn't be in politics. Did you think about that? Because I'm sure you spent a lot of time thinking about what worked and what didn't. And what was your answer to yourself about, no, actually, I have more to give, and I'm going to go and do it at MK, as opposed to, like, maybe I should go into the private sector. I mean, you're a talented woman. There's no doubt. You're capable. You're intelligent. There's probably a lot that you could do besides politics. Why stay in politics?
You know, Gareth, it's not a question that I would be angry at, because I did ask myself, and we even had a discussion about it, even within the party, to say, indeed, maybe they rejected Colleen, you know, whether Colleen was inexperienced to be where she was standing, whether Colleen as a woman, because I didn't see women parties that were voted in.
No, you're one of two in the whole country.
One of two, and only a Patricia de Lille's party, which got one seat, was voted in, a woman party. Other than that, it's all men. You know, maybe rejected.
Maybe people don't care about gender.
They don't care about gender.
They certainly don't care about women, otherwise GBV would be sorted.
That's it. So a lot of questions went into my head to say, yeah, perhaps it was me. If we had put a man in there, if we had put a different, if indeed we had even put Likota, remember I was fired because I was president, perhaps we could have done better. I think if you are a leader, you must be sober and ask yourself difficult and hard questions. The same way I can read ugly comments and take what I take out of it and reject what I reject. I don't take offense at any of these things because people express their own opinions. So I did. And even private sector, I even thought about, I even applied to go to private sector, by the way. But something in me, I'm not ready to go back to private sector. I think I really enjoy serving in public office. I know the abuse that we take, things like what people are saying here, what we take. I'm putting myself here for them to criticize, say what they like, as that I don't have to be sitting here and doing this, you know, and it's part of the package. And but what really struck me was when I finally said, okay, I can join MK, the meeting that I had with President Zuma and what he said about me as a leader touched my heart. And I said, okay, perhaps let me really consider coming in full time and continuing politics. And not only him, many other people that will call me, that matter to me, not just somebody who gets data and sends.
Do you want to share with us what he said to you?
No, I wouldn't want to share that now, but it really touched my heart. You know, there are some that I can
listen properly.
No. But I mean, in general, was it's important that I'm just paraphrasing this because. Yeah, I never spoke to him about sharing it, you know. But it's important that we groom young leaders, especially women, must stay in politics. He's very, very clear about that. He was disappointed that his party doesn't have enough women in the party and is trying to open that up. And there are those that block. There are those that just don't want to raise their hands. But when he saw me, he's been following, he's been hearing, you know, about me. Even when I was a speaker, he's been impressed with me. And not, I've had even other people that I said matter to me that will call me and say, first defeat or this, don't give up, there's still space. And those are the advices that I took when I was considering, do I quit, do I not, am I fit, am I not? And yes, it could be that I was rejected, but I think and I believe I reconciled it within myself. I still have a lot to offer in the public space, okay, as a public servant. And I think as a leader, I can grow. I will improve. I have a lot to learn, but I also have a lot to give.
I have one last question. You come from COPE and we saw what happened there. Succession issues, a very ugly battle for leadership. Do you think an amalgamation of all of these egos, as you had said before, the small parties, everybody had their own ego and their own ideas. Do you think that inside the MK, they can work together and not fall apart the way COPE did?
You know, Mpumi, it's a general problem with, and I'm going to use this, with Black people in working together. I don't think it will be unique to COPE, it will be unique to SERA, it will be unique to MK, unique to ANC or any other. We have to learn to unite, irrespective of tribe, irrespective of, you know, whatever intellect you think you have. Unless as Africans, and now I'm using Africans as Blacks, unless we can unite, and I'm talking colored Indian, Black people who are really affected by this the most. We have never learned how to unite. That's why you've got splinters out of ANC, PAC, COPE, EFF, and many others. All of these 26 losers that we're talking about, all of them originally came from the ANC. You know, why? Because of this unity. I'm praying for that unity. I'm hoping that this new generation that is coming up will see things differently, will allow others to lead, allow to be a follower, will know that we can't all be chiefs and support one person. And that's why I had to make a conscious, and I told Sarah people, we started Sarah, let's amalgamate. I was honored and privileged to be, have made a leader. Now it's my turn to take off my leadership hat, support somebody else that people has voted in millions to say this, that's the leader. Let me support him. If he can achieve this unity, we would have done well as a people and for the country.
Good lately, Gisa.
So on the thing that you're speaking about, on this day in 1977 was the day that Steve Biko was murdered, September 12th. And exactly what you are speaking about now was something that my generation went through, where we actually went through that process of forging the unity. And the point at which that unity fell apart was when it basically got narrowed down under broad-based Black economic empowerment so that it increasingly became different rules for different people. And just entirely from that perspective, you know, simply because of the fact that my daughter, for example, if she wants to get into medical school, it's far more difficult for her to get into medical school than for a white person to be able to get into medical school. Why? Because of the fact that my tribe historically gets very high matric results and they impose a quota based on the fact that people end up being smart. And all of these policies were implemented under Zuma.
In fact, so, I saw an interesting graph just this week. I can't remember who published it, or I'd give them credit now, but they said since 98, there have been more race-based policies passed
than all of apartheid.
Than during the entire apartheid era.
Absolutely.
Which is a frightening thing that we shouldn't be very pleased with if we believe in merit, we believe in excellence of every kind. So that's an interesting point. I mean, it's something that's irrefutable.
Even, President Thabo Mbeki, you know, those policies were started way before President Zuma came.
Well, he's, I think, Mbeki basically took the policies that were put in place by his friend Mahathir Mohamad in Malaysia and simply rubber stamped them and put them in place in South Africa, where the Malaysians, wherever the Malaysians in their law had Chinese, he replaced it with white people in the South African context and implemented that law. And then it got refined under President Zuma. And under President Zuma, you know, he drilled down into the race essentialism, you know, to a far greater detail. It was very much like a final solution type thing that Hitler progressed along.
But you know, what is interesting and what people don't talk about, you know who was heading that BE commission? It will be President Cyril Ramaphosa. Go to the history. You know, it's just that I forget even the codes. He is the one who was heading
done,
that.
He's done very well out of BE.
Very well. And I'm saying those racist policies, if you think they're your current president now, so is the one who was heading there.
The question and I'm asking, Colleen, is how do you reconcile, you know, this quest for having this, you know, unity of everyone who believes to be African?
Certainly.
When this fundamental law is on the statute books and all of the race-based stuff that Gareth was just talking about. Are you in favor of repealing those? Is MK going to repeal those? Are they going to double down? Will we eventually get to the stage where there's more rights for Zulu people than they are for Sutus or so forth?
Then I'm married.
Look, I think now, you know, you asked very good question earlier, but let's not put it in a tribalistic way, because, you know, is this tribal... tribalists, and that undermines the like Black tribalistic
views.
That undermine the Black nationalist ideals, you know. Because MK, it's not just about Zulus. I'm not Zulu. I'm Shangaan. We've got Tswanas. We've got, like I said, we've got Indians. We've got many other tribes that are in there. Yes, it may be dominant Zulu. Even Sarah, when I started as a Shangaan, I had more Shangaans in the party.
Well, the country dominant Zulu. So,
But I'm saying naturally, when you start, you know, your own will support you. You know, I had more Shangaans, but we broke into other tribes. I don't think MK wants to be defined along in a continued period over those tribal lines. But you ask a fundamental question. I can't answer you now because I have not engaged with MK on those policies. But what I want to say, and which is very important, you can't subscribe those to President Zuma alone. I'm telling you now, you go to your history, go and read, and I will even send you the material which was presented by Cyril Ramaphosa, then he was not president. He was heading that commission, you know, for over 10 years. He was the one making those laws assigned to make sure that BEE works, and he pushed it. Right now, what do you say about it? And he was deputy president. So people forget all of those issues. To say even President Ramaphosa, he was part of the problem that you are talking about in 9 years.
You'd be hard-pressed to find me a Ramaphosa fan. I'm absolutely not.
Definitely. So you can't isolate.
But we found the one thing that all four of us.
Yes.
It was Jacob Zuma who signed off on those bills.
Yeah, indeed. Even Ramaphosa now is going to be signing off on bills because it's his signature that must be there. It's not going to be Guterres or Fikile Mbalula's. But those decisions are made by a party, you see. Then you sign off as a president, because one signature must be on there. So, as I said to you, if you understand how a party works, you will appreciate that even Cyril Ramaphosa, some of the things that he's signing there, he may not personally believe in them, but the party has decided on them, and they are voted in parliament in their majority, of course, with ANC being majority at the time, and then he must sign on them. But yes, your question will be answered over time. As I understand, I can come back to you.
All right. Well, you said there are comments. I'm going to close off with just a few of these. Dumisani Masego says, Colleen is a boss. Someone else says, Colleen is giving Yoko Ono vibes. She's the kiss of death for a political party. No, so people are saying that when she's in the mix, then Yoko the party does badly. So, you know. I think that's a bit unkind. Someone says they love it when Pumi gets under everybody's skin because they can't answer the questions properly. So there are lots of opinions here. I think you're brave. I've said this to you before. I think you're brave. You stand alone. You do things I don't always understand. But you're always willing to talk about it. So if people don't agree with you, they're allowed to disagree with you.
I'm not.
Can't hate
for
someone
them.
Who's going to try and hide.
No.
And I mean, you can't hate someone who isn't trying to hide, which is you. You have things to say. You know what, Colleen, thank you for coming. I mean, it's brave because you knew you weren't going to have an easy time with me, with Pumi, with Canton.
With Newsroom, with the NCA. I'm not having
everyone.
An easy time
there's no way you go where you're going to be welcome
no,
with
certainly,
open arms, right?
Certainly.
Except MK party.
Yes, and SABC, they don't have a choice. They must be nice. But yeah, it's interesting how this conspiracy against MK, you know, give them
you
an opportunity.
Do you think there's a conspiracy?
I really do, in the media. You know, there's a way you can ask questions and get answers. But I've had the type of way that you were dealing with me earlier. I've had that over and over. Newsroom last week, you know, where people just don't want you to say what you think and feel. They want you to agree with them. And I don't. I've chosen this path. Let me explain to you why I have. You may not like it. I don't want it. I don't force it on you. But don't force your opinion on me as well. Don't force your narrative on the people. Let the people hear the truth of what we're talking about. You know, and this is the beauty of democracy. This is the beauty of having a freedom of speech, freedom of choice. This is what our ancestors fought and died for. Don't suppress it.
Okay. I can't think of a better note to end it on, unless there's anything either of you want to throw in at the last minute. No? Pums, thank you. Canton, thank you. Colleen, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I hope we'll see you again soon.
I don't know if you invite me again now that I'm in.
Of course,
I'm
MK. I hope they'll give you some kind of role in the party. They're giving all these other guys roles. And frankly, I don't know whether they're all covered in glory. You don't, at least don't have criminal record, you know.
It's just so sad that, you know, that's the least that we expect from a public servant these days.
At least.
You know, if we had charged Palapala, we'd be talking something else about a president
as
well.
There are a lot of these parties on the left that talk about, you know, having representation. But you're the only woman in MK I can name.
They're actually in their top six.
Are they? Yeah, oh, wait, there's Duduzi in there.
Not even Duduzi. Yes, she's there, but they are.
She's powerful. Those tweets of hers, that's policy.
The deputy SG, yeah? She's there. Mamkize. There's also, I think, about 5 women in the high command. I don't know all of them yet, but it's not enough. I agree with you. It's not enough.
And even President knows. I don't agree. I don't like people doing like token appointments. I mean, you have qualities they might want in there. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Gareth, my qualities get me in trouble.
Sometimes
people want women that are going to say yes, sir.
By the way, there are a couple of comments here, people saying, I've been much too soft on Colleen. Listen, I'm not inviting people here and then bashing them about the head. So you see, you didn't get bashed about the head. All right. Thanks, everybody.
I took off my glasses, so I missed most of the comments.
Oh, don't worry. We covered a few of them. There were internecine battles going on in there as well. There were people in the comment section fighting with each other, not even fighting with us for a change. So, all right. That's it for the Burning Platform this week. And next week, Pumi is taking charge of the whole thing. I will be away, but we'll be back the week after as a team. So thank you all very, very much. We'll see you next week.
I keep wanting to...